Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the first edition of Dungeon Masters Narratives. I'm your host, Jackson B., and with me is my good buddy, Ryan P., and today we're going to be answering and asking questions about what we think is going to be going on with the next upcoming D&D games sessions and anything new that we think could be added to 5th edition. So, Ryan, what do you think about D&D's 5th edition current state? Do you think it's in a good spot?
I think that it's definitely a big change for D&D from the previous editions. It's more player-led than Dungeon Master-led.
Especially in 4th edition, because 4th edition, unlike 5th edition, requires a lot more magic items.
Yeah, and also 4th edition, a lot of times the items that you could get would just completely break the game and make campaigns almost not fun. But with 5th edition, it's a lot more, you have to work with your friends, and you can do it any way you want. Dungeon Master could point you one way, you can go the opposite way, but still meet with the final goal of both intents, and just, you get whatever story you put in.
What would you say is your favorite part of doing D&D with your friends and maybe playing other role-playing games like D&D, such as EOTE or Vampire the Masquerade?
I'd probably have to say just the getting in the mindset of you're not who you are. You're playing someone else, so it's not you, it's whoever you want to be. So you don't have to deal with modern-day issues. You can just play, and you get your mind off of it, and you just have a fun time doing things that you wouldn't be able to do. Like, you can't shoot fireballs out of your hand or make the sky just shoot lightning everywhere. It's like that. You just get this big image of all your friends dressed like elves, dwarves, just dressed in armor with weapons ready to go fight anything that comes in their path. And it's just, you get a great group of people together, and it just, you get that great immersive experience, and it's just fun playing with friends.
Yeah, I definitely gotta agree with you there. There are so many fun things you can do in D&D, especially if you're smart enough to know that your DM or dungeon master or game master is going to be lenient enough to allow you to do something that could bypass something else. I watched a tutorial recently, and I took it into our own game session where the guy said, oh, maybe you should, you know, take in burlap sacks because you can sell you can put the monster meat in there, and then it'll be an easy way to store it, and then it will count as an item in your inventory, and it won't really take up much space, and it won't stop you from fighting as well. And that was a really way for us to make a couple of extra shekels while we were moving around.
Yeah, and also, while using a lot of spell casting, there is a few spells that if you mix together with, like, the wizard, and one of the spells, Goodberry, it pretty much replenishes your spell slots.
I think there was a little bit of stupidity with, the way some stuff in D&D works. Like, the wizards have to go to school for, like, 12 years to even start learning magic. Well, there's, like, the sorcerer is born with it, and the warlock asks Cthulhu for his spells.
Wood elves start with a cantrip, and then if you take a certain path like I did with the mage, the thief trickster.
Yeah.
Now my spell list is like a page long because I can get a spell book, copy spells down and cast them. And since I copied Goodberry, all I do is I use a spell, eat a berry, and I can use the spell again.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's a trade-off between, there's definitely,
it's the trade-off between wasting your turn to cast Goodberry and having the berries, or just keep trying really powerful spells, but every time you do it, you have to keep eating a berry, and it's like, you have to make sure that you have enough. So it's like, even though 5th edition, they're trying to work out a lot of the game-breaking things like that, they're never going to. But it's still fun, even if you have to, like, make it so that that doesn't happen, then...
All right, so Ryan, definitely, I want to go back and talk about 1st edition. 1st edition Dungeons & Dragons was very, very bare bones, to say the least. There were, about 4 to 5 classes, and each of them had very minimal spells and attacks, but the game was still good, and I can even go back and ask my uncle, who started off with first edition and second edition with his friends when he was a teenager, how much fun it was and how much you were still able to do. I even brought up to him all the new stuff you can do, all the new classes, all the new races, all the new abilities and spells and stuff you can do and the wide range of abilities. And it was so much that he decided to get back into Dungeons & Dragons after 20 years.
Yeah, I definitely know, like, in the first editions, it was very, since of how cut and dry it was, people were able to do almost anything because there weren't a lot of the modern rules holding them back, like using spell slots, like in modern edition. Like before, you were able to just use spells and attacks, like, and do lots of stuff and do almost anything.
Yeah, there's next thing I wanted to bring about is imbalancing. I know that there was a lot of imbalanced stuff in 4th edition. Like, there was a lot of spells that could just negate problems once you got to them. But I think that's been toned down a lot in 5th edition. There are a lot less spells that are just, I open up a portal to the nether realm, and I let this giant creature kill everything in the room. It's more, you have to cast a spell that could potentially kill a good portion of the things in the room, mm-hmm. and possibly solve a problem. It just depends on how good you roll, what level you are, how untuned you are to the spell and stuff like that. And I think there's definitely so many spells in the game that people aren't using. Like, there's spells that can let you teleport, and there's so many other online builds for just using, like, earth transformation spells and just being able to crush people with it.
Yeah, and then another thing in the older edition, they had this, it was like this die that you could roll at the beginning of the game. And whatever, in-game, whatever you roll on that die, it either gives you a stupidly ridiculous buff, like infinite wealth, the best weapons, the best armor. Yeah, you know.
I've seen some of that within Traveler. In Traveler, you picked where you wanted to be, and then you had to go from there to see if you would keep retaining that. So if I wanted to be a noble son, and I rolled really badly, my entire family could be killed. I could be on the run, have to join the military, turn out extremely poor, lose some of my hearing to something possibly, and then join the crew as that. So it would be very difficult to deciding something like that is very difficult, and it's why Traveler failed, and it's why a copy of it is being sold in one of the Wizards of the Coast stores for $4.30 instead of $60.
Do you remember what that item was called in the previous editions?
I do not remember what the die was called. I just know that it's been used in other role-playing RPGs.
Because I know, a few of our friends were using it, and every time the one kid would just roll it, and then he would either get infinite money, go to the store, buy the best armor, or it was a train wreck with that item.
I think everyone should be able to set up their own backstories in D&D. It definitely makes it more fun. Like, if I want to make an orc who's from a war-torn valley and is just trying to get away from war by doing quests, that makes my story much more interesting and could lead to the dungeon master saying, oh, one of your relatives comes back and tries to pull you into the war, and they bring a small army with them. You and your group have to fight off the small army. And that brings such a cool narrative into it. You just turn a side quest into a main quest, just like that, as long as the group is heading on the main trail. And it makes things so much cooler. And on top of that, 5th edition has so many more books than some of the other editions that you can have adventure after adventure after adventure. And, it's possible and plausible to be able to keep a character alive. But the fun comes when a character dies and you get to make a new one. When that final release, when a character is gone and isn't brought back, is the exact incentive that you need to build a new one and to try again and again and again through trial and tribulation to make an awesome, badass character.
Yeah, I know also in 5th edition as well, you were talking about how all the books and stuff, they did actually make spell books a little harder to obtain. You have to do side quests and you have to do a lot of exploring. And like, since I've DM'd before, I've read in the book where it's like they need to roll like a 20 strength check to open this hidden passage. And then they find a crate where they have to do another strength check.
Oh, wait, if it's a fighter, if it just has to get a crit, could it also crit on a 19, or does it have to be 20?
I think it depends on what class, but it just said that they need to get, like, perfect checks to open this crate, and then if they did, it just had, like, a few riches, and it had, like, the scroll parchment, taught a spell, which...
I've been thinking of an idea for a campaign. I was thinking of starting it off with a tournament between the characters, where after the characters had all gotten mad at each other, or at least slightly disapproving of the others for having, you know, battled them in the tournament, and none of them would die unless the other ones were forcibly to, but forcibly trying to, but afterwards putting them all together in a thing to solve quests and do stuff, I think would definitely make an interesting story, as there's always going to be a little bit of tension between the characters no matter what in the narrative.
Yeah, to do that, it might be a little hard, though, because starting off with a battle, the players might think, because you might think, yeah, they don't kill each other, and then all they do is just fight, and then they get together. They might think, oh, it's a test, and whoever, if they might just kill each other on the way, so...
All right, I think that's about all we're going to do today. Make sure you tune in this Sunday when we're going to be doing an actual full-length D&D game that we can put under the Dungeon Masters Narrative podcast name. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening on our thoughts. If you have any questions, please leave a voice message.